This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And now it is just about 5:42. It's time for Today on Twitter, where there is a vibrant conversation going on about tiny homes, their cost, and why people would do it, I guess.
So this comes from a tweet that we posted on BFM News, highlighting an article on Insider that was about Atikah Nadia Zailani, who's a Malaysian Stanford graduate who's built a tiny home in the outskirts of Kuala Lumpur. According to the article, Atikah said she was inspired by Western camping culture as well as the larger tiny home movement. And she built this home with a dozen of her friends as well as a company known as Epic Homes. And she spent, and this is the point that's getting a lot of conversation, she spent around 300,000 ringgit building a 530 square foot or 49 square meters home. If you're not familiar, the tiny home movement is essentially a push towards living in smaller spaces, downsizing, learning to do more with less, which also, I think, kind of ties up with living in a more eco-friendly way, leaving less of a carbon footprint, often means going off the grid, which is something that Atikah also did. The house is completely self-sustaining.
So you brought up the question of price, and that's been a big thing. Really in the comments. So, for example, we have this from Kat Petak, who says, for 300k, you can get a bungalow on your own land, by the way. And similarly, we have Wodan, who says, 300k, are you joking? My uncle bought a double-story house and a durian orchard, and it was only 100,000, including water piping and electricity. 300k is a scam.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, right? It really depends where you're choosing to live, what you aim to do. I mean, not what you aim to do, what you want out of where you live, and location. I admit that, of course, further out from Kuala Lumpur or further away from urban centres, that's probably possible. But I think in this case also, the 300K, I think it's worth thinking about the fact that it includes not just building the space, but also the fact that later on you won't have to worry about things like electricity, which can add up over time.
We also have, Amril, who is saying Malaysians don't know what self-sustaining homes and the cost of them are. They're expensive because of the solar panels. Yes, being off-grid doesn't mean no electricity and plumbing. It just means she handles it herself. And if she's truly off the grid, then she doesn't pay bills. Also, didn't all of you read the article? She said she's always traveling, so she won't be staying there all the time. And if she's not back for a month, that's a month of not paying any bills for the house.
Well, at Mutum says, a lot of people are commenting about the cost. Look at the location and the views. Definitely worth it.
Yes. So the article wasn't specific about where exactly in the outskirts of KL it is, but it's up in the hills. And
the pictures look really quite beautiful.
Yeah. So actually, there was an entire conversation about where the money really went. And one of the things that she spoke about as a splurge were actually her glass panels. And another thing she spoke about was how, because they are quite remote, she gets amazing nighttime views, which is quite a plus, I would think. But then, of course, not everybody wants a compost toilet, which is also what she's looking into. So, you know, you really have to kind of do the trade-offs.
Ateli says, I was asking myself why tiny homes aren't a thing in Malaysia. Then I read the replies and I now understand how other people view the concept. So judgmental.
So, okay, to be fair, right, I think that a lot of the judgment, and this is why we started with the price, I think a lot of the judgment did come from pricing and speaks also perhaps to other conversations that we have about slowing down in other ways. I'm thinking here about the frequent comments and comparisons between fast and slow fashion, and how in some ways fast fashion, or perhaps fast development, you could make that kind of analogy, has created this sense of, well, this is what housing or development costs, so I don't understand why you would pay any extra when you're living in a smaller space, or, you know, so on and so forth. And also in some ways how we think of value, because you could break down the 300,000 into things like electricity bill, water bill, and things like that. But you could also say, if this is the one-off cost that I'm happy to live with for a smaller footprint, I might not want the bungalow. I might not want that. You know, maybe I wanted the experience of building my own house. So I think it opens up, yes, judgment, but also these questions about how where you live reflects your values down to the creation of it or the choice of what kind of house you want to live in.
And I think it, you know, on that point about living sustainably or living with less or living with only what you need, the space you live in can often determine that, right? Like I know a lot of friends who would say, oh, ever since I moved to a smaller place, I've chosen to give away a lot of my things. Mm. I realize when I shop, I don't unnecessarily buy knickknacks for the house. When I travel, I prefer to spend on experiences rather than things. And so I think like there are long-term changes that happen when you do choose to live in a smaller space, even if you didn't consciously do the compost toilet and going off the grid aspect, even just the size can impact your footprint overall.
I know a lot of people who work on a one-in, one-out concept when it comes to introducing new things into the house when you live in a smaller space, because it ends up just being that way. You just don't have space.
Yeah, so you need to make space so that you can put space in, put something
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So all of which to say, tiny house. I'm really happy about this conversation. I've always found them fascinating. So there was a tweet. This is a bit of a journey. A tweet on BFM News highlighting an article on Insider that was about Atika Nadia Zailani, Malaysian Stanford grad who built a tiny home in the outskirts of KL. And because it's a relatively new concept, I think a lot of questions coming up around cost, around why you would do it. And we want to hear from you. Would you live in a tiny house? Is this something that you've been interested in? You can call us 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, it is 5:52. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And we've been talking today about basically going, I guess, to the other side of downsizing, of living in tiny homes, tiny houses. And this comes as someone actually did it and did it on a budget of 300,000 ringgit, which is a price, I think, that had people surprised because you think 300,000 and then you automatically assume that it's going to correlate to the size of the house, the size of the land. But of course, in this case, it does not. Instead, it's gone towards things like solar panels and towards building materials because it was built from scratch. And so we were asking you, in general, would you live in a tiny house? Is this something you're keen on? And you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So many messages.
Well, I wanted to ask you, what would you pick? Would you live in a tiny house?
I would. Mm. I would. I've often thought about it. I think that I would have to downsize significantly. I also know that not here so much, but in the US, where they're quite popular, there are people who live in a main house and then have a tiny house also on the property, either as a studio or in some cases because they rent it out for holidays, right? There's like a whole separate thing about tiny house holidaying. But yes, I'm interested in it. I have never, perhaps because I've never lived in a large house, I've never understood the appeal. It felt a bit lonely to me.
I think I would totally live in a tiny house if it also meant that I had views and space outside and nature. And I do think that when we want to live in more natural spaces, we need to be mindful of our footprint, right? Our carbon footprint and our environmental footprint and so on. So the messages actually are so interesting. We have Stephen who says, I moved out from a 1,200 plus square foot three-room condo after the contract ended to a 500 square foot studio unit. I don't feel I've missed out much. Everything is within reach. I only spend 2 hours a week cleaning the whole house. I'm happy. I don't cook anymore after MCO, hence smaller kitchen in a studio unit doesn't bother me. Just an air fryer and a multifunction microwave are enough. Another perk of a 500 square foot studio unit, I have an excuse not to host friends. I have my quiet space fully mine.
See? Look at that. Idyllic life. You know, such a
and
great
no one
recommendation.
Comes to visit, happy.
Well, I've been hosted before at a small condo, or rather a small, what's the word? Am I thinking of the word loft? Yes. So I've been hosted at small studio apartments before, and I think as long as you're okay with people sitting on the bed, it's all right. But oftentimes that's where people end up sitting, right? Because mm-hmm. it's all one space. So yeah, I think if you are the life of the party, if you are the host with the most, and you still want to do that, you can still do that. It's a choice. Meanwhile, we have Anwar Anis, who says, if she's building something pioneering and with tech and design for sustainable living, it won't be cheap. Credit to her for trying something different.
And I mean, that's exactly the point you were making earlier, that the 300K actually goes towards, you know, sustainable choices that is precisely the reason why so many other buildings or apartments seemingly seem cheap to build, because they're not being built with longevity or their environmental impact in mind.
Actually, this is something that she brought up as well, that materials here were harder to come by, that because she'd studied in Stanford, and so she'd had experience in America. She referenced Home Depot and said, you know, when you need something, if you're building a house, you can just walk in there and, I suppose, pick up the beams and everything that you need. But here it was a little bit trickier. So I think that's also where the cost adds up, alongside the actual tech and green design that she was trying to build into this. Meanwhile, V simply says, tiny space, less cleaning, period.
The less cleaning is such an appeal, honestly. I think I've lived in like proper houses, like double-story houses. I've lived in apartments. And I've also lived in a room where I only lived in my room. And honestly, it's the cleaning that gets you. Like, I'm so glad that I don't have to clean larger spaces.
Lukai says, why are tiny homes not a thing in Malaysia? Are you kidding? Do you see how our condos and apartments are getting smaller and smaller, but much more expensive?
So when I first heard about the tiny home movement, in my head, I actually thought of places like Hong Kong, where literally homes can be a room and a kitchenette.
Yes. Yes. And I think it really depends here how we think about tiny homes, right? Whether you go back to the original basis for them, in other words, that you're kind of living, it's not tiny because you have no choice. It's tiny because you wanted it to be and you wanted to have a smaller footprint. Of course, Hong Kong is a whole different thing. I mean, people are living in containers now. Like, there are just all sorts of ways in which they're trying to deal with the land space issue. But yeah, in an ideal setup, a tiny home would be a choice and not necessarily something that is the only thing you can afford.
Well, Roberto says, I believe the cost included the price of the land, which certainly would have elevated the price. By the way, I would love to have one. And the places in Malaysia are just super nice for this movement to pick up.
Agreed. I think we've got really lovely spots for something like this. I don't know whether the cost includes the price of land. So she did buy the land earlier. And then she only started building, I think, in 2017. So like a year after she bought the land. And it's unclear. Actually, it is unclear whether the budget includes the cost of the plot. Laif says, would love to right size our place, but currently living with one wife, four cats and three dogs. We'll have to make space if doing that. So the wife will have to go, I suppose. I kid. Jangan kecam saya.
Well, yes, these are the choices.
I'm probably not supposed to say this, but sometimes a good old-fashioned spouse joke just hits the spot, you know?
It does. I also hope Laif's wife makes similar jokes. Just saying.
It's why I said spouse joke. Yes. I think it can cut both ways. Anyway, keep those thoughts coming. We're talking today about tiny houses and whether this is something that you would like to live in. You can keep those thoughts coming. Call us, 7733-2900. WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.